Go for it.
I have your mind. Hi, good morning.
Good morning.
Pura vida.
Pura vida.
You're very welcome.
We are the upcoming generation. We are the ones who are going to save the planet and who are going to make change. Start now. Start teaching each other and supporting each other and just continue along the road of saving our planet because that is the only option.
This is Peggy Mercur. Pura vida.
Pura vida.
Pura vida.
Pura
vida.
Yeah, pura vida. Whoa, it's not a dream anymore. It feels like tangible, you know, and it's in my home country. I need to be there, you know, I need to be part of that. I want to be on that ship.
Hi, nice to see you again.
Hi, nice to see you. I'm Tara McLean. I'm a volunteer for Asiero Verde here at Sail Cargo.
Where are we right now?
So we're at Casa Sandia, which stands for Watermelon House, hence the watermelon on the wall. This is where all the Asiero Verde team works and also part of Sail Cargo.
Ah, oh, nice, interesting. I see a nice colored little house and there are pictures inside of the project which is printed out.
This is the idea for Seba.
Ah, I've seen it on the internet, nice. So what are you doing here and what is this place about?
So here for me, my role, I am in the office in the back and I do social media. Instagram, Facebook, so I go out and I take pictures, mostly at the vivero, which is tree nursery in Spanish, and so I'll upload photos of what's going on, some information about the trees, and a little bit of information, and just get the social media going.
Nice. What's your favorite tree, and do you have a story behind it, maybe?
My favorite tree is the moringa tree. I don't yet have a story behind it, but I've learned a lot about its medicinal properties. And it's just a magical tree. You can eat the leaves raw, and just like they have all these amazing properties, they can heal your gut, they can heal so many illnesses in the body, and it just sounds like an amazing tree. So I'm definitely going to go out and pick some leaves and harvest them. Yeah.
So what does the tree taste like?
Well, I don't know yet, but I can't wait to find out.
So do you have a nice story for us?
I'll have one story from yesterday, not too exciting, but I was at Camarita, which is the new place where we're going to be. Well, it's an old teak plantation, so we're harvesting the teak, using all the wood we can from it, and then clearing the land, starting fresh. We'll be planting trees there. There'll also be yardi lodging, compost. It'll just be like kind of the new Asiero Verde, but, you know, both places still going. Yesterday, I went up there. We were cutting down teak machetes, really hard labor in the hot sun. And I literally felt like I was going to die of heat stroke. And then we really just like got into the swing of it. And that's the best thing about this place is everyone is so committed to what they're doing that we just have this energy that we just keep going. And I feel like we reach a certain level of fatigue where we're like, we have all this energy that we can just channel into doing what we're doing because we really want to be there. If it was some job, you know, and we were just working for the money and this and that, I think there are parts of the manual labor that are very tiring. But because we're all here for the same reason, for the planet, we can really channel that into our work and we can make it through to the end with that. And because we all have that mentality, it's so nice to work together. And it's also a big part living in the shipyard is that everyone is so interlinked and we all kind of support each other. And everyone is completely different. We all have completely different personalities, different backgrounds, but we all just seem to connect because of this sole reason why we're all here, for the planet and for Seba, for Asiero Verde. Yeah, and that's really what makes the people here amazing, is that we're all here for the same purpose.
The same purpose. What is emission-free? What does this mean? Or what does the carbon footprint mean for you? How do you think? What do you wish for?
Well, I think with Seba, it's just this idea of emission-free vessel, and also, you know, it's clear that some carbon will be expended in the building and all of this, and that's why we have Asiero Verde. We're building the trees we need to offset the carbon, any carbon that will be produced when building the ship, so that we really can say that it's a zero-emission ship. Transport or shipping accounts for, you know, 3% of global emissions. And so if we can do shipping with no emissions, it's incredible. And so I think that's why everyone here is so driven, because we know that, you know, that's one of the big answers, is to take emissions out of shipping.
How do you live sustainable, personal and life?
Well, I think now the governments and policymakers, all this, there's a lot of things they have to change. There are a lot of technologies out there that maybe, for whatever reason, they're more expensive, they're less easy to get. These technologies have advanced, but not to the point where the government is accepting them and getting rid of the fossil fuel, because fossil fuel industry is so prominent in our society. So I think for us in our day-to-day life, all we can do now is just limit our use. You know, just completely focus on as little waste as we can, everything that can be composted, everything that can be recycled, you know, everything from toothbrushes to toothpaste to shampoo, just every little thing in our life, just try and find a more sustainable version. And I think the word sustainable has kind of been twisted a little bit. When we think of sustainable, we think eco, we think green. Sustainable just means that no matter how long we keep doing the same thing, we can do it forever. And a lot of things that claim to be sustainable can't be sustainable, because sustainable is to be able to continue for forever. And so that's the thing with tree planting, is this is incredible. You know, the carbon that we can offset with trees is incredible, of course. Trees don't last forever. And so planting trees only is only buying us time. You know, we can't continue using fossil fuels and planting trees, because these trees will be eventually dead or cut down, or the land will be reharvested for other purposes. We can't necessarily count on every following generation to keep that carbon sequestered. And so, yeah, we're buying time until eventually everything can be emission free, because there is really no other way. It has to be true zero in the end.
How do you get up? Or what is your first thing you're doing when you start a day?
Here?
Yes.
Well, really what keeps me going is the people. I look forward to, you know, spending breakfast and lunch with them, and everyone just, you know, we're all so happy here. I don't know, it's a combination of the heat. It's just like, it's always a good vibe. I just look forward to every moment I get to spend with these amazing people. The work I'm doing as well, knowing that I'm helping a good cause, and that, you know, most people wake up in the morning and they have to go to their 9-to-5 office job. And so we wake up here knowing that we're doing something good, not only for ourselves, but for the planet and for the people around us. For example, the food we are buying for the shipyard, most of it is supporting local farmers or farmers around Costa Rica. And so it's just a good general feeling. And yeah, I mean, waking up in the morning as well, we can't stay in bed because there's the howler monkeys and it gets too hot. So that's also a big reason.
So what wakes you up in the morning?
What wakes me up in the morning? Combination of alarms and howler monkeys, which are also alarms, just a lot louder. But this morning, actually, I woke up at my alarm and I was fast asleep when my alarm rung, which is very surprising, because usually the howler monkeys wake me up at like 4:30 in the morning, which is fun. And there's actually a few people here that were telling me, you know, native to Costa Rica, that when they hear the howler monkeys, it makes them sleepy, because they're so used to being in that sleep state when they hear them, that it makes them sleepier. Whereas for us, it just sounds like a massive scream coming from the sky.
Yes, I need to get used to that. What is your favorite animal? I mean, the animals around us. I'm surrounded by bats right now where I'm sleeping, and it's really super cute because I have my mosquito net around me, so I hear them flapping during the night, and I really like that.
Oh, that's good.
I mean, I'm protected by the net, and they need space, and I need space. I like to share, so everything is fine. But what is your nice
experience? Well, I have
experience?
Two. The bellbird. I don't know if you've heard of the bellbird, but we're actually in the bellbird corridor. That's part of also Astillero Verde is planting the right trees for these bellbirds so they can migrate across Costa Rica. My other one is I think it's a gecko. I'm not 100% sure that's the right name, but he lives right outside of my tent. And he's so camouflaged to the ground. So every time I go to my tent, I don't even notice him. And I just hear him slither back into his hole. And then I see him for a second. And it's like, I still haven't got used to it, because it's every single time I go to my tent. So usually, you know, you would look and be like, oh, hi, there's a lizard. But he's so camouflaged that I just forget every time. And I just love how he just like greets me every time I'm going back to my tent. And it's lovely.
So you hear him and you're not scared of him?
No, not at all. No, and sometimes he'll get kind of scared and he'll just stand there and look at me. We'll have this really like strong eye contact. But I think eventually he might get used to me, because we see each other every day. I gave him a banana one time. I had a banana lying around and I had to leave. I didn't want to leave it there because the mapaches come and wreck your house if you leave food in it. So I put a banana in his nest, and then when I came back, it was eaten. I was very happy.
Oh, wow. So you found out where his nest is already.
Yeah. Well, because he only perches right above his nest, kind of waits, just kind of sunbathes until someone comes back, and then he jumps back in. So every time I come, I just see him look at me, stand for there for like 5 seconds, and then he just jumps back into his nest.
So you're surrounded by mosquitoes, by wild alive animals, and you're mm-hmm. sleeping in a tent.
Yes. I have a mosquito net, but I've actually found I used to be very attractive to mosquitoes. They'd always, you know, eat me alive. I'd be covered in mosquito bites, especially in Senegal. I used to live in Senegal, and they would destroy me. And when I arrived here, I lived in Corsica for a couple months last summer. And when I first arrived, same problem, I was getting eaten by mosquitoes. I had a mosquito net and everything. I was still covered in bites all the time. By the second month, I stopped sleeping with a mosquito net, and they just didn't bother me anymore. And that's the same here. I've maybe got 2 mosquito bites since getting here. And there's, you know, other girls around me that are completely covered in mosquito bites. I can't say exactly what it is, but I think it's part of the energy of just, you know, accepting that, you know, being at one with these, you're not trying to fight them. You know, they're going around living their life. Of course, you know, if you want to put mosquito repellent on the night, that's probably a very good decision. But you just, you can't fight it, because there are mosquitoes and they do bite you. But if you just vibe with it, I don't know. They don't bite me anymore.
So, what's your philosophy in life, your personal?
My personal philosophy in life? That's a very good question. Well, for me, I want to be a marine biologist. I'm going to go to university. I've said many times that I would probably be doing other things in my life. You know, I used to want to be a fashion designer if we didn't have this climate crisis. But in my head, I'm solely focused on saving our planet. I think it's just the most important thing right now. There's a lot of people that don't care, that might care in the future, but they don't care yet, and soon it'll be too late to care, because it's very quickly coming irreversible change. And so for me, the oceans are like a really big part of it. The climate is affecting the oceans like crazy. And so I just want to be solely focused on the ocean and just doing anything I can to protect them, preserve them, and restore them.
May I ask you, how old are you?
17.
17. Oh, wow. I thought you were older. No. You look experienced. You're talking already about saving our planet. So the motivation keeps you going because of that.
Yeah, of course. Yeah.
Can you say something to the people who are not believing in saving our planet? Maybe they lost their trust, or maybe they lost the belief in it.
Mm-hmm. I think a big part of it is out of sight, out of mind. So there's a lot of our third world countries, islands, you know, everything under the water, the coral bleaching, everything, stuff we don't see every day. So we have a hard time understanding that this is really happening. Lots of people still have the idea, oh, it's getting warmer, I'll be able to be on the beach, eat my ice cream. And they just have these ideas of climate change which are completely wrong. You know, rising temperatures doesn't necessarily mean it'll be sunnier. It just means all the impacts of the rising temperature, which are very extreme and terrifying. And I think people have to get scared. You know, I think we're tiptoeing around this, like, we don't want to be scared. We don't want to ruin economics, you know, in our countries. We don't want to ruin this social stance of how people are getting their money from fossil fuels, from whatever you want. You know, they don't want to take away the private jets and this and that. But I think that thing people need to focus on is that, first of all, it's now or never. If we don't act now, it will be too late, and it will be catastrophic, and there will be a lot of deaths, a lot of pain, a lot of suffering, and people just aren't scared enough. And, you know, we don't see it enough in the news. You know, if there was a zombie apocalypse, for example, people would be absolutely terrified. This is just that bad. It's the same level. You know, our whole planet could potentially be completely destroyed. The only thing that gives me hope is that I think no matter what happens to us, our planet will come back. But I think since people are so focused on themselves, their families, and their own surroundings, they need to realize that that will become destroyed if they don't act now. And it's not about saving the planet for them. It should be about saving themselves, because that's what they have to do. To save themselves, they have to save the planet. There's no other answer.
Is there a role model or some example which keeps you going in your mind?
This is a... maybe a little bit embarrassing, but I'd say my mother, because she works in the hydrogen sector. She used to work in sail cargo. That's why we lived in Senegal. She had an idea for a sail cargo prow to go into the Casamance, into the mangroves without damaging surroundings. But now she works in hydrogen. We were just at her event at COP26 where I met Danielle. And she works like crazy. She works 6 in the morning till 10 at night, just going for it. You know, she doesn't care if she's getting paid. She doesn't care about any of that. You know, she has her company and she's just doing everything she can to promote hydrogen into shipping for the planet. And for her, it's just all about the planet, you know. Her job, it's nothing to do with money, which is, for most people, what a job is for. And she's just driving through it just to try and save our planet. And for me, that's a crazy motivation. It's like, you know, if she can do it, you know, she's had ME in the past. She's had all these problems and she's just pushing through everything for our planet. And it's just, it's crazy to see that every day with my own eyes. And so that really drives me. Yeah.
Awesome. There are more people out there. That's great to hear from me as well.
Yeah.
So wonderful, Tara. Is there anything you would like to add for maybe the kids out there who are listening to you right now, or maybe the granddads, grandmas, whoever, or maybe parents mm-hmm. or lonely ones?
Well, I'd say I'll send a message to the kids, because I'm still one of you, is that, you know, you might think you're insignificant and that what you do isn't going to change because you're just one. If every single one of us makes a change, then it's not just you and you're not alone. And there are people that care about the planet and that want to save the planet. And we are the upcoming generation. We are the ones who are going to save the planet and who are going to make change. And so we have to start now, and we have to start teaching each other and supporting each other and just continue along the road of saving our planet, because that is the only option.
Thank you so much for your interview, Tara.
Thank you.
All the best. Nice to meet you too. Hello, Alexandra. How is it going?
Hi, Peggy. I'm doing well. How are you?
I'm fine, thanks. I'm sitting now in your office. What is your work about? And I'm seeing also some nice stickers on your laptop. I will ask you later about that. We have a nice air conditioner around us. That's really, really good because it's pretty hot out there, isn't it?
Yeah, it's so hot out there.
So what is your work about?
Okay, well, now I'm the coordinator of Trees for Seas program at Astillero Verde, which is the non-profit organization for Cell Cargo Inc., which is the company that is building this great boat.
When did your day start, and what was your day today about?
Well, I started working here in November, November 2021, last year. So I have almost 3 months being here. Now I'm coordinating the season 3, the reforestation program. So basically my day today is organizing everything in the nursery that we have. We already are growing trees for the next coming season. The idea is to plant 4,000 trees in May at the beginning of the rainy season, which is in 3 months. Yeah, so we want to plant 4,000 trees around here. Now I'm talking with some organizations in this area to partner with, and coordinating with landowners in this area to plant trees in their properties. So the Trees for Seas program, it has 2 years. Well, this is the third year, actually. So in 2020, they planted 2,000 trees in Monteverde, in the mountains. We are working in the Bellberg corridor, biological corridor, which goes from Monteverde in the mountains, in the cloud forest, and it goes down until here in the lowlands and in the dry forest. So they planted 3,000 trees last year, and the idea is increase that amount for this year. So we are going to plant 4,000 trees, and we also want to focus in this area. Why the dry forest? Well, because in this area we need more efforts. This is a more fragmented ecosystem, so we want to focus our efforts here to protect water resources, to create connectivity within different ecosystems, and also to allow climate change resilience, you know, we are each day temperatures are increasing, so we want to restore this ecosystem and to become more resilient to climate change, basically.
Wow, 4,000 trees. Who does this work and how long does it take to get 4,000 trees into the ground? I've heard you have a nursery.
Mm-hmm.
And who takes care for nursing all the trees?
Uh-huh. Yeah, so in our team we have two more people. Our expert in trees, he's a technical expert. His name is Lucas. He's in charge of the nursery. So he's working with Brian, his assistant. So basically they collect seeds from the forest and they dry them, and then they are in charge of the germination, transplanting, and they have been doing this for the last 8 months. So we already have over 2,000 trees in our nursery.
And then mm-hmm. you replant them?
Yeah, we are growing the seedlings, and when this rainy season is coming in May, basically, that means that we are ready to plant those trees in the soil. So yeah, that's gonna take a month and a half, and we are going to hire local people as well for doing that. The idea is to create seasonal jobs for doing that as well from the local community, and also we are willing to involve schools, kids, invite them, do environmental education, have kids with us, so we can teach them how to take care of nature, how to plant a tree and take care of it.
Nice,
yes.
Interesting. What is your background about? And I think you're local?
Yeah. Yeah, I'm from here, from Costa Rica. My background, well, I studied tourism management, but then I changed my career path. And I did a master's degree in development and biodiversity conservation. My career, it's focused more in the social aspect. So I really like to work with the community in both local people and work in development, like local development, rural development, and do development and conservation together.
On the west coast of Costa Rica,
uh-huh.
close to the Pacific,
uh-huh.
and in the mangroves. Can you tell us something about the surroundings?
Mm-hmm. We have a lot of mangroves around here in the coast, so many mangrove areas around Punta Morales to Punta Arenas. The idea also in our program Trees for Seas is at some point to have a mangrove nursery, maybe, to work with women. So a lot of women here, basically they collect like oysters,
yes.
in the mangroves. So the idea is to have a group of women that they could take care of a mangrove nursery,
mm-hmm.
that create the mangrove ecosystem. In my opinion, that's a good idea because mangrove has a lot of potential of carbon sequestration, more than forests.
Why is it based on women? What's the background about that?
Oh, because that's their livelihood.
So they are experienced and they know the area,
mm-hmm.
and the men are more fisher-like.
Yes.
And the women are more taking care for the trees, maybe, mm-hmm. as well.
Yeah, exactly.
And also the shells. I don't get the point. Is it connected? They pick the shells up?
They pick the shells up to eat them. Or commercialize them.
Ah, all right. And how is it connected to creating a bigger mangrove area?
Because these kind of shells grow in the mangrove. They need the mangrove to grow shells.
Ah,
mm-hmm.
all right. So
mm-hmm.
it is in this way connected.
Mm-hmm.
If you have more mangroves, I mean, it's better for getting more carbon.
Mm-hmm.
And it's also a good living area for the shells.
Mm-hmm. Exactly.
And then you can also have, in both ways, effort about that.
creating a bigger ecosystem in this kind of topic. Sorry, I didn't know that. But it's also a dangerous way to work, I can imagine, because I know that there are crocodiles as well.
Yes. Yeah, so yeah, we need to be careful about that as well.
What did you want to become when you were a child?
I remember I thought I would like to become a secretary. Yeah, I like to play with computers and papers and yeah. But I realized what I wanted to do when I went to visit a group of coffee farmers. That was actually during my bachelor's degree. Mm-hmm. So it was part of a college field trip.
Yeah.
So we went to visit these coffee farmers in the mountains, and I was amazed about the things they were doing, that they were growing coffee in a sustainable way, doing things better, and they explained us about the challenges they were facing due to climate change, how they were becoming more resilient to climate change, and I was, oh wow, I really want to work in something like this. So that's why I went to do my master's after that trip.
It also inspires me. If I hear stuff like that,
yeah.
I can imagine, wow, all these women out there have the chance to change. Just start. That's my philosophy. What's your philosophy?
My philosophy of life?
Yes.
Well, I think we need to do things better to have a better future. I think I'm optimistic. Education is the best way to do it, by inspiration and transmit the right message to the next generations so we can do things better in the future. It's the point, right? Because through education we can change things. If we educate people, we can have a better environment, create awareness and educate people that this is bad. Yeah, it requires a lot of efforts, but we need to continue that, doing that.
Wherever I was, there were people who are acting like you and me.
Yeah.
Being interested.
Power. The action, not waiting for the government.
You're growing trees. There are so many different kind of topics which are already changing. It's not about the money.
It's a purpose.
Thank you so much for inspiring all the things you need to know that you are doing something.
Yes, yes, exactly.
Pura vida!
Pura vida.
This means sustainability. This means carbon-free footprint for our earth, for our products. Sailing, adventures, dreamers, sustainability, woodwork in the mangroves. Spread out the good news, the good ideas, the knowledge we have on this world, how to change, how to live sustainable. The strength and peace like a real human, with happiness and responsibility for all living creatures on our earth.